Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And this is the fifth hour of broadcast that I've done today. but we're talking about health issues and health of individuals, health of society, health of the mind, health of the soul. And the Bible talks about health a lot too. In Genesis 43:28, it says, "And they answered, and thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. The idea of an individual being in good health, we ask that all the time. How you doing? I remember going to a doctor once when I had got out of the service and my health was not in good condition, but I went to a private doctor. And he came walking into the room eventually that they installed me in, and said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Okay." And then I thought, "No, I'm not. That's why I'm here at the doctor's office. Not doing okay. Doing terrible." And he went through his examination and did everything that he thought was necessary to check, and then prescribed some medicine and some pills that I went out and paid an ungodly amount of money for. And I started taking them, and I started getting these terrible pains in my jaw. And I called him up because he said something about that might be a side effect. And I told him, and he said, "Stop taking the medication." Well, you know, I'd bought a whole bottle of the things, probably 150 pills in there. And he said, "Stop taking them." I says, "What do I do with them?" He says, "Oh, just flush them down the toilet." And I says, "So what do I do then?" And he says, "Well, come in and I'll prescribe something else." So I have to go in for another examination. Now, nothing's changed. He's going to look at me again and charge me another bunch of money, which wasn't that much in those days, but I guess it was a lot in those days, but by today's standards, it wouldn't be a lot. But, you know, I was struggling to make a living. I'd gotten out of the service, not with a lot of money, and was trying to get back making a living and having these health issues, all caused by the service. And he was prescribing medicine that made me worse, and I had to go pay him to have him prescribe more medicine that might make me worse. And I'm flushing the medicine down the toilet because it was making me worse. And so I didn't go back to the doctor again for probably 20 years. And I actually did pretty good over those years, and it's actually been another, like that was over 40 years ago. And I don't go to doctors much. My grandfather was a doctor, but I don't find them real helpful. I think they can be at times. Someone just read an article to me about chemotherapy. Actually, a couple days ago, I saw an article on chemotherapy that they're really, statistically, according to their own studies, they're is almost no increase in survival rate of any extent with chemotherapy. Occasionally they slow down the cancer, but really there's only about a 3% difference between those people who get chemotherapy and those who don't, which is really like paying somebody to take you to the Inquisition and not getting any real benefit out of it. And so I'm not sure, you can do your own research, but I'm not sure chemotherapy has any real value. But the article that was just read to me is that chemotherapy may actually enhance the growth of cancers in many cases because it destroys your immune system. Of course, I've heard that before, but this was actually a recent study. And that doesn't sound good. You're paying them to torture you to do something that's actually going to make the situation worse. I know doctors who've refused chemotherapy. And so it doesn't have a very good statistical success rate. But I have heard many cases of people taking some unorthodox alternative treatments or remedies and being completely cured of terminal cancers after the doctors were done with them and telling them basically to go home and die. And because there wasn't anything more they could do. And they went home and tried some of the alternatives and were completely cured. Now, I'm sure many people go home and die. And some go home and try nothing, and some go home and try other things, and they die. But the stories of people with spontaneous remission and alternative medication is really good, but there's probably no real good statistics on it because nobody's paying them to keep those statistics. There are some extreme success rates trying other things that other than chemotherapy, for sure, but other than mainstream medicine. What did they do in the old days? Well, a lot of people died. Just about everybody who lived in the old days is dead today because it was a long time ago. We all face death, and there's no guarantees. But the idea of being healthy while you're here is something that people look forward. In 2 Samuel 29, we see, "And Joab said, Amasa, art thou in health, my brother?" It's a concern that people have, that you be in health. And of course, I'm sure you're concerned about your health. Well, at the church, since we are compelled by law to love one another, and compelled by the law of the nature of Christ, because that's what we seek, is to have Christ in us, is to love one another, and even sacrifice ourselves for love of one another. What we do to be healthy and to have our neighbor healthy really has to be about that same sacrificial love that Christ preached and John the Baptist preached. Because he talked about, you know, if your neighbor has no coat and you have two, to share. If your neighbor's health is bad, I assume that you have to share to help him out there too. Because that's what Christians should be doing. But Christians do that a little bit, but really most Christians' health care is based on government. And government is based on force. So most people's health care is based on force. And force, and it's getting more that way now because of things like Obamacare. And if you were in other countries, many of these institutions of forced health care, forced payment into health care, are already in place. And the amazing thing is that every nation that has those healthcare systems like that, based on the government being the benefactor of your health, they're all operating in the red. They're all literally bankrupt. They don't have any money. All the money they pay in is used up, and they're operating on debt. New Zealand was $50,000 per person. You can be absolutely healthy and in debt, $50,000, because everybody else is not healthy. And that's the system that people have created. And is that accordance to God? Is that what God would do? Is that what Christ would do? Is that what the early church would do? Well, of course, it's not. Now, we should take care of the needy and the sick and the infirm. And Christ certainly is seen doing that. But he didn't do that by forcing people to contribute, which is the way the world operates. In Psalms 42:11, and actually the same verse is repeated in 43:5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the healeth of my countenance and my God." He is the healer. Praise God. Look to God. Seek God's remedies. So what are God's remedies for health? And of course, you know, we've talked before about the oils, the aromatic oils. And we have people in the church that are really experts on the aromatic oils. I've used them. I've used them on other people. I don't usually use them on myself so much, although I have. But I've used them on other people and had remarkable results. Now, was it all the oils or was it laying on the hands? Well, that's up to debate. We don't have any studies, but I've seen the results. I'm amazed at the results that we have gotten, which are clearly, you know, a girl with scoliosis, my daughter administered the oils, and she was going to be treated by a chiropractor for a scoliosis, and they figured it was going to take like 3 years. In 6 months, he said, "You're just straight as a rod. There's nothing I can do for you. I can't believe it." What was happening is she would go in on Thursday to the chiropractor, but Tuesday she would go in and see my daughter, who just put the oils on. And this report is that they've seen young people with scoliosis put the oils on, and the backbone, literally nobody's touching her. it literally straightens out. You can actually watch it straighten out, because what it does is clear up the signals that is causing the curvature of the spine, and the muscles themselves straighten them out. And this is what we experienced with the oils and my daughter's application of them. And we, you know, it's a pleasant experience, much better than chemotherapy, to use the oils. Do they cure cancer? Well, some people claim they do. And is it always the oils, or is it the administrator of the oils? Because I think that's a really important thing. But it's one alternative. There's other alternatives, other solutions for a lot of other things besides cancer. You know, there's cleanses for gallstones and other problems. Keeping health is something you need to work at, just like keeping free is something you need to work at. And of course, God wants you to be healthy, which is whole, and he wants you to be free, which is also whole. Because when you're free, you have your rights, your God-given rights, your inalienable rights intact. So he wants you to be that way, but only if you're not slothful in his ways. In Psalm 67:2, we see that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Thy way is thy saving health. The way he does things, it actually brings a saving health, an understanding, a wisdom, a pattern of action and reaction. You know, fear and anxiety are tremendously detrimental to health. Faith is not detrimental to health. Faith nullifies anxiety and fear. But there's a lot more to it than that. We'll look at some of those things, and have looked at them earlier in programs that we've done earlier today. And solutions, practical solutions, not only health remedies for the individual, but for society, because we live in a sick society. We talked earlier on other shows about these three young people who just killed this Australian baseball player kid who's over here going to school in Kansas, and they were just bored, so they went up and shot him because they were bored. They wanted to kill somebody. So they just went up, total stranger, didn't know him, didn't get in an argument, just went up and shot him, killed him. That's a sick society. Somebody says, how can these monsters be this way? Well, that's a good question. How could they be this way? What's creating this kind of monstrous individual? And, you know, other stories have come up, you know, people have been kidnapped and murdered and tortured and just heinous crimes. Where are these people coming from that are thinking in this way? Is society doing something to contribute to this? And people being attacked in the streets and nobody doing anything about it. I mentioned the teacher who was molesting a young boy for 8 years, same boy. Got him drunk first by giving him soda pop with alcohol in it and telling him it was just soda pop. Get the kids drunk and take advantage of him when he's a little kid. And he did this for years. This went on for years with the same kid. And, you know, he's married and has kids, and he did this. And when he's tried, other teachers support him. Even write letters saying that he should be let go or be lenient with him because of the fact that this was his first offense. It was 8 years. That's not the first offense. And they don't see that their behavior is bizarre. When people complain about it and they want these teachers who say that, you know, he didn't really do any damage to the kid and the kid's still getting straight A's. Of course, the kid showed over this period of time was showing tremendous emotional stress. Outrageous temper, all kinds of things, and he's actually finally coming to grips with this dark secret that he didn't really want to have anything to do with, but was manipulated and drugged into creating this relationship, and wanted to reveal it, but was frightened by fear, you know, warnings and stuff like this from the teacher, who was using this child, you know, and he was eventually convicted, but other teachers supporting the teacher as if he didn't really do anything that wrong. The other parents, and some of the other parents, wanted him fired, but the school board wouldn't fire him because they were afraid they might get sued. We live in a bizarre society where, you know, people can do just absolutely bizarre things and they think it's normal. You know, and they have this new core education coming out where there's no wrong answer. If he says, you know, 3 times 7 is 11, it's not wrong, as long as he can explain how he came to that conclusion. And there's a teacher actually explaining to other teachers how to do this in this new core curriculum, which is absolutely bizarre. It, for anybody who actually examines it with any detail. And, one of the other teachers says, you know, we are going to eventually tell them that it's the wrong answer, aren't we? But the reality is that there's an actual insanity going on and being rationalized as if it's reasonable. It's not. It's not rational, but they think they are. And it is extremely dangerous. It is putting us in a very unhealthy society from which anybody with foresight can see great abominations, cruelty, and chaos and horrors will come from this sick society. But it will vomit, it will churn, it will give up its ghost, and it will die. And a new society will be born, but not without a lot of pain. You know, and what's the cure? Chemo? Should we have a revolt, a revolution? You know, or just vote? Will that cure society? No. None of that will cure society. It's not the cure. It's not dealing with the problem. The problem is in us, and we have to deal with that. And one of the ways of dealing with the unhealthiness of society is to deal with our own health and the health of our neighbor in a righteous way. That's what God said. This is what Christ said. Seek the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God, and the righteousness of God. So we have to tend to each other's health that we care about in a righteous fashion. And forcing our neighbor to contribute to the welfare of our health at the point of a gun, which is what all these social welfare programs depend on, is not healthy. It's not healthy for society, and it's not going to be healthy for the individual, because the remedies it comes up with will reflect its own nature. And that nature is a covetous nature, a devouring nature, a nature that eats one another, eats out the heart of the individual, because it takes and takes and takes and takes. So we have to find a relationship that gives life and use that relationship to develop a healthcare system that by its nature is a system that gives life. In Proverbs 3:8, we see, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Well, those are odd things. Navel, barrel. We could actually do a study on navel. You'd be surprised. But bones is a very important thing to the structure. Ezekiel talks about dry bones and bringing flesh on them. And we talked about that in one of our conference calls earlier, where we were talking about the bones are the structure. And Christ set up a structure to what he calls the kingdom of God. Very free and liberating structure, and most people are completely unaware. And we talk about it in Free Church Report and Thy Kingdom Come, but there's a structure. And these dry bones come to, he breathes life into the dry bones. But can they come together and become this body? Can flesh and sinew come on them and live? And that's a question. And so we've been putting together teams of people that are beginning to understand how this government of God works and how it worked for hundreds of years and how it produced successful, healthy societies, unbelievably healthy societies, for centuries. And you wouldn't even know that history because you didn't go to the schools that teach that history, and none of the public schools do. Although there are some recent books that have come out through universities, but they're not promoted. But they show the history of this other society and what it was really doing. And of course our book, Thy Kingdom Come, goes back and shows that Abraham was creating such a society that produced health and strength amongst the people. And yet, allowed for individual freedom. Because see, many countries get very strong, but they don't allow for individual freedom. They're actually satanic. But the marrow of the bones have to give health and life. Because actually, the metaphor of this is amazing, because within your bones is where your blood cells are produced. That's where they start. And then they go out and they feed everything and oxygenate everything and take away the debris, and they're essential. And they come from the bones. All those red blood cells have to come back to the bones. When they die, they're filtered through the liver, and then the chemicals are eventually taken down to the bones, and then new cells are born up and live within the body and feed the body through a circulatory system. And if you were on the call, and we can't do it, it was like 2.5 hour call. It was explaining some of this, and we had people, when somebody from New Zealand was really helped, he said. I know somebody from the Dakotas who said that he was beginning through some of the emails as well through our network. And if you want to be a part of the network, you got to go to thelivingnetwork.org. Thelivingnetwork.org, all one word, .org. And join up in your local area and then become involved. And others will begin to show you how this network works. And this is the way it worked at the time of Christ. And it was very important that things came into place at that time because Rome was declining. Your own nations everywhere in the world are on the verge and the precipice of decline. And there's going to be some sharp drops here shortly. And most of you are completely unprepared, no matter how much you think you're prepared. You're not prepared mostly because you haven't come together with others who can help you. I mean, the knowledge necessary is unbelievable. And it will take some time for you to develop that knowledge. And you can't do it all. If anybody's homesteaded, you try to do everything yourself, you can't do everything yourself. You can do a lot more than you're probably doing now, but you can't do everything. You need a community. And that's really important. In Proverbs 4:22 it says, "And they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh." What's he talking about? That's at verse 22. If we go back to verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." His words, the word of God. But what is the Word of God? You know, that Jesus is God and, you know, all that. No, the Word of God is the life of God. And we talk about it, the Bible talks about it, but it actually has to live in the midst of your heart. This is doing things in the name of Christ, is when Christ lives in you so much that you just automatically do things the way Christ said to do them. It's not really an intellectual choice, it's a spiritual choice, and it's very easy for those who are willing to make it, very hard for those who hesitate. So anyways, talks about my sons attend to my word, and of course we know at the time of Christ, Jesus said that the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, and believe it or not, the Corban of the Pharisees was a part of their health care system. You paid in, and then there were ministers of that system who would help you if you fell on hard times or got sick or blinded or whatever. They would provide for your social welfare as part of their health care system. But they weren't attending to the Word of God. They were actually making the Word of God to none effect. The amazing thing is we've created the same systems throughout the world today in almost every single country that we're making the Word of God to none effect because they depend upon men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. So the solution for your health might be a lot of things other than chemotherapy. But what it really is an alternative system of health care based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. That is a remedy that will actually change the nature and direction of your society. Unfortunately, most of society don't want to go that way. In Proverbs 13:17, we see a wicked messenger faileth into mischief, or falleth into mischief. But a faithful ambassador is health. So who is the ambassadors to the kingdom of God? Who is the ambassadors of the way? Who is bringing the message of Christ? And the message of Christ and John the Baptist was to love one another, to take care of one another with love. And of course, remember now that the word charity doesn't show up until Corinthians in the Bible, in the translation, but in the original Greek, it's way back there coming out of the mouth of Christ, except for they never mention or translate the word that you see as charity in the epistles as charity when Christ says it. They always translate it as love. And see, to take care of the needs of your society, of the neighbor, by choice is love. To do it by force is wickedness. And the wicked messenger falleth into mischief. He begins to covet and think it's okay. But the faithful ambassador says, no, you can't do it that way. You have to do it by faith, hope, and charity. And we used to do it in the church. If you got sick, you went to church. If you had a need, you went to church. We don't do that anymore. We've gone a wicked way. And we need to repent of that. In Isaiah 58:8, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Righteousness shall go first. You have to, this is why Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to start dealing with the lack of wholeness, the lack of health, righteously. Now, you might find some remedies that actually help you out. But if you want real health, you need to start seeking that health, not just for yourself, but for others, in a righteous fashion. If you don't do that, you're headed for trouble. And, of course, you haven't been doing that, so that's why you're in trouble today. Our health issues in this country are at all-time high, but tomorrow they will be even higher. Yeah, and there's problems like GMOs and vaccines and all these different things that they're producing. And there are physical remedies that you could look at, but if you don't change spiritually, you will not find all the physical remedies that you need. You just will not find them. You will not discover them. You will not realize that they're there. In Jeremiah 8:15, it said, what? We look for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. So you can seek out health, but you're going to have trouble unless you make this other change. You have to make the other change to make a difference. And the other change is you have to have this nature of Christ in the things that you do. Well, we'll go to take a look at a couple more things when we come back from the break. And we're going to get into some real solutions for health. And I mean, they're so numerous, I can't even list them all. And I'm not even going to try in this show. It's just not going to be long. But I'm going to show you how you can find out the alternatives that actually make people not only healthier as individuals, but as families and as a society. And we'll do all that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, well, we're talking about health. Health of people, health of families, health of individuals, and there is a source of action in our lives. There is a, we call it spirit. The spirit of 76. The spirit is what is the motivational power within our being. By what spirit are we operating? Are we operating by the spirit of life and the character of God, the creator of life? Or are we moving by some lesser spirit? Now, everybody thinks that as the devil is something the opposite of God. So that if God does nice things, the devil's going to do bad things. No, the fact is the devil can appear as an angel of light. He can do good things. But he does them in such a way, like the monkey's paw, he does them in such a way that bad things result. Because he's doing them from another spirit, an incomplete spirit, an inadequate spirit. And so, with that metaphysical statement out of the way, how do we know what spirit is guiding us and leading us? How do we know that this healthy remedy, I know some guys who, they are always suckered by every con man that comes along. Why do they keep falling for these guys? It's because they have a little bit of that in them, and a little bit of one to believe, but that's what con men do. They play upon your weaknesses. And we've been played upon. We've been suggested that, oh, we need health care, we need clinics, we need insurance, we need these things that will guarantee and provide us with health or longer life or whatever. We think we need these things, and so we accept them. And we don't look at the repercussions. We don't look at the ramifications of how you get there. Because, you know, the Romans used to even have a saying that the end justifies the means. So if we get a health clinic, the means doesn't mean anything. How we got it, that's not important. Fact is, we got our health clinic. But the reality is, that's not really the truth. The ends don't justify the means. The means justify the ends. And the word justify and the word righteous have a lot in common, because the original Greek word for righteousness is actually means justified, according to many. And when we say righteousness, we have a little bit different connotation of what that original word meant. We need to be operating according to that Spirit of God, that DNA of God. You know, if you take a string of DNA in a cell that zips, and then it creates another string, and then the cell divides and you have two cells. Well, if that zipper malfunctions and produces a DNA that is not identical to the original DNA, that's a cancer cell. And that's going to kill you. So all cancers are the result of an identity crisis. So where are you getting your identity? Is it from God? Is it the character of God? Is it the way of God that is written on your heart and your mind, or not? In Jeremiah 8:22, we see, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why aren't we getting better? The daughter, the church is a daughter. And right now the church is one of the sickest things I've seen, because it's not really the church. It's a cancerous tumor that we call the church. And it's not what Christ intended at all. And why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Because it's full of illness, sickness, moving from the wrong spirit. It's not moving from the Spirit of Christ that is the giver of life. If we go back to, let's go ahead to Jeremiah 9, verse chapter 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging, place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. What are they talking about? All adulterers? This whole nation adulterers? And filled with treacherous men? Well, that's actually where you guys are at right now in the world today. You have gone whoring after other gods. And we have a couple articles coming out. We already had come out on News of Views about, one is about faith, that word faith, and the other one is about religion. And I've got one coming up about juries. And then after that, we're going to look at God. The word God, and what it really means. And who are these gods, many, that you were warned not to go whoring after, not to bow down, not to serve? And we'll explain all that. And some of you have listened regularly and read some of our books and materials. You know who I'm talking about. But most people don't. And why don't they recognize the problem? It's because they don't have the eyes to see. Their eyes are from another genetic code that don't see the whole truth. And so how do you get to the point where your eyes can be opened and the scales can be removed? They go on in verse, 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men. But in verse 3 it says, and they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they've forced from evil to evil. They proceeded from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. So I know a lot of people say they know the Lord and they have a personal relationship with Christ. But when I look at what they're doing the exact opposite of what Christ said. So that's, to me, pretty good evidence that they don't really know the Lord. And so that should be evidence to you, too. If you're doing things that Christ did not say to do and is actually doing things that he said not to do, then what you think is a relationship with Christ may not be it. But that would be wonderful to see that, because now you would be able to change. You would be able to repent. You'd be able to do it the way it was really meant to be. They bend their tongues like their bows for lies. And we have lied to one another and saying it's okay to covet our neighbor's goods in order to get health care, because health care is good. Because we think the ends justifies the means. But no, the means will alter the ends. If you take care of one another through means of covetousness and force, you will make your society sick and you will become sick. Your institutions of power will actually produce poisons and enter them into your environment. We just recently heard about the Syrian using poison gas against their people. We're poisoning our people with food. We're poisoning them with a lot of other things and chemicals. We're putting fluoride in the water. We're doing all kinds of things to poison people. A lot of people say, oh, well, fluoride don't hurt you. Well, you better do a little bit more homework. It's wishful thinking. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor is what their solution is. Take ye heed of your neighbor. Why do I have to take heed of my neighbor? And trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slander. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth, and they have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity, evil. That's what's going on. They're coveting each other's goods. They're forcing each other to pay for each other's welfare, to pay for each other's education. And people are looking for remedies. They're like, overthrow the government or overthrow this or vote these guys out and vote these guys in. If you're not seeking a way to educate your children and take care of your health through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, I don't care what else you're doing. You're not going to be free people. You can't be free till you set your neighbor free and say, you don't have to pay for my health care anymore. You don't have to pay for my children's health care. And what happens is you're now operating from another spirit. And now alternative means of health and education may be revealed to you. Unless you take that step to turn around and go back the other way, the way it used to be in this country, you will not be free. I don't care if you got the vote like you ever will. I don't care if you got the best guy in the world to run for president. It's not going to happen till you change, till the spirit that you are moving by changes in you. And that is your choice, and that is your only choice for a solution. And that means you have to come together and do it, because it's not enough that you do right by your big toe. You got to be doing right by your neighbor. Take heed. Take ye heed, everyone, of his neighbor. Start caring about. And that's what we call congregation's record. That's a religious term, but it's just basically volunteer teams of people that are going to try to watch each other's back. And do it in a networking fashion where 10 families watch each other's back, but they're connected with 90 other families, and they're watching each other's back. And a new spirit is born. A spirit of the hue and cry of society, where we actually care about whether or not you're treated for error or receive this or that, and you'll be coming up with alternative solutions for food, for medicine, for health care that I can't even dream of. I can dream of a lot, and I've seen a lot. But there are things I haven't learned yet. But together we can learn a lot more. But you have to come together in humility and righteousness. Take heed, everyone, of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. In other words, don't put yourself in any sestuique trust, and we'll explain that somewhere else. But it says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. That's what most of the Christians today are, workers of iniquity, and they don't even know it. And I'm afraid that when they find out, it may be too late for them. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor. That's what it says. They can only do this when they deceive themselves. Thine habitations is in the midst of deceit. It's based on deceit. Though through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Now, a lot of people think they know God, but they're not doing what he said. And therefore, they will not be free. Therefore, because Christ came to set you free, if you were actually doing what Christ said, you would still be free. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. He's going to melt them? The elements of the world were going to melt. It talks about that in the New Testament. Now, you got to remember, this is coming from another language, but he will try them, test them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot at. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. He layeth in wait is really what it is. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Okay, they talk peaceably to their neighbor. I mean, that's, you go to church, and, oh yeah, I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor. I really like my neighbor. I love him. And I'm so sweet. I'm just full of Jesus, sugar. But if they need anything, you like my imitations? I'm hearing a little giggling in the audience. But the fact is, we go to church with all these sweet thoughts, and you actually go to churches, sometimes churches, and everybody's talking so sweet and everything, but the backstabbing that goes on behind in the politics of the church is unbelievable in some places. I stay completely away from that, but I hear stories that'll curl your hair. But anyway, the fact is if they actually need anything, they don't pray at church for it. They go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And they put your children and your grandchildren in debt. They force your neighbors. They rob widows and orphans. You know, we talked earlier in another show about people voting in inheritance tax. That devastates widows. When their husbands die, they suddenly owe a huge tax. And small children have had to go without. But don't worry, the government's there. Except not without a price. They're going to take your sons and daughters. And it's all because you won't come together and take care of one another in faith, hope, and charity, which is what John the Baptist said, what Moses said, what Abraham was doing, what Jesus was saying and the early church was doing. But not what churches are doing today. So anyway, what we're doing is getting together. We paid a medical bill just recently, and we went through some of the processes of figuring out how to do that. And through the network, I mean, most of the people are self-sustaining, but this was an emergency thing where somebody suddenly, you know, the hospital runs up a huge bill. Well, we have a whole website, or at least web pages, and it links you to other web pages that show you how to negotiate that bill down. And if you do it with the help of a congregation and church network, we just shared an article where a person saved $17,000 on a $23,000 bill. or what should have only been a $20,000 bill. And it shouldn't even been that, because we don't have the time to go into it all. But the fact is that these high prices and treatment that you see, they're all jacked up. They don't need that money. In most hospitals, like I say, they turn their collection over to an agency that's going to take half the money. Or a large percentage of it, depends on, you know, how they particularly operate. And the insurance companies seldom pay what they tell you the bill was. They have agreements to pay a fraction of that. So the hospital is not even expecting to get the whole amount, especially emergency room. They'll push it, they'll try to get it, and you need almost a professional to help you. And there are companies that specialize in that, in negotiating the bills down. Our ministers are going to be trained in that, and we're already, you know, some of them are already learning that. You know, I've done it, and they can help you do it. But you can't join the congregation simply to get out of paying your medical bills. You have to come together with the intention of helping other people. Because that's a different spirit, you see. That spirit's going to give you ideas you can't even imagine. It will show you solutions you didn't think existed. And like I said, we've seen miraculous healings just with touch. The reality is it matters who you're doing this with. And nobody's coming perfect. We're all prodigal sons. We're all coming back to what we should have been all along. We've all sinned. And so we have to come back. We have to turn around and go back the other way, and that means caring about others. I mean, the reason we're in the situation we're in this country today is because we're selfish. We don't care about others as much as we care about ourselves, so the result is tyranny, travesty, bankruptcy, all these terrible things that are happening all around you. Criminality of society, the uselessness of the court system, the totalitarianism of the court system, and the medical society. All these are coming about because we've been following the wrong spirit. We don't have to start, you know, tithing huge amounts or anything. We have to start moving in another direction, turning around and going the other way. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. You refuse to know him in his ways. But you can change that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughters of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth in wait. There's another place where it talks about if sinners entice thee, and talks about laying in wait for blood, and that your blood will be the blood that's taken. This is in Proverbs. And same kind of stuff where it talks about if you sit and eat with rulers, and you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat, because he serves deceitful meats. Deceit again. He's going to bring you into bondage. Through covetousness, as it says in the New Testament, they will make merchandise of you. Desiring those benefits at the expense of your neighbor is the antithesis of loving your neighbor. So, anyway, we're putting together a network that is actually beginning to provide for their neighbor when there's real need. And the nature of the people who have received that need is not only to pay back what the church provided, but to pay it back plus, extra. And they're more than willing to do that because, through negotiation, the bill was dropped by quite a bit. I can't remember what their bill was. I think it was only like 20% or 23% drop. But the reality is if we get better at this, I'm sure we can drop bills more than half. And like I said, the one was dropped almost 17% of what it was originally. According to one guy's figures, we're not sure what it would have been originally, but what they were estimating it, they saved $17,000. Which is a fraction of what they wanted to pay. They wanted $20,000 up front, plus what the insurance company was paying. And instead, they dropped the bill by, I mean, can you use an extra $17,000? and end up with it because you went to church? You know, Yeah, I could tell you the story of the church that actually started paying off everybody's credit cards, and they were giving them financial counseling so they didn't go back and abuse those cards again. And they started with individuals who really weren't abusing their credit cards, but they had lost their job and they were trying to keep their house, and they just got overextended and they got way and way in debt, and the church came along and paid off the credit card, which saved a fortune in interest, saved them from bankruptcy. Of course, they were reorganizing and getting a cheaper place and had gotten another job and were getting back on their feet, but the credit card interest was killing them. The church just paid it off. Of course, they paid the church back plus, and they had so much fun doing that, they started doing looking around the church for other people that were getting themselves in trouble, and they paid that off too. And this got into the news, and the news people said, well, isn't that leaving less money for donations for the church? And he says, no, actually, it's increased because our congregation is healthier, financially speaking. You see, health is in every aspect of your life. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this, that's full of that deceit? We have to turn around as a nation. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and a wailing, and for the habitation of the wilderness, lamentations, before they are burned up, so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle and the fowl of the heaven and the beasts of the fields. I mean, it's going to be bad. And I will make Jerusalem heaps, a den of dragons. You know, that's what's happening, is your system is devouring you. It's eating you up. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like the wilderness, of none passeth through. This is a bad thing. There's a lot of stuff going on. But, you know, in 3 John 1:12, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, we're not talking about prosperity gospel where people are saying, I want to be rich and I want a nice car and I want a nice home. It's people who want other people to be out of debt, other people to have good lives. They would rather see other people do well than to have a big fancy house for themselves. They're content with a nice house. They're content with a comfortable place to sleep and a family that loves them in the home. That's what makes the home. They would rather take their surplus and help others. Not weaken them with charity, but strengthen them with charity. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go that way? And the way that the early church did it was gather together in these tens, hundreds, and thousands. And that's what we're doing on thelivingnetwork.org, is giving people a chance to gather together. We're not going to do it for you. We're forming congregations of people. And they're free to go or come as they want. They're free to donate or not donate. And they should watch how they donate. Be careful. Strengthen your ministers. And start being there for one another. With the bigger and bigger the network of people who want to and care about others as much as themselves, you become an invincible force in the heart of the failing Roman empires of the world. The New World Order is not going to be very orderly. If you want to find Christ's way, you have to seek it. And you have to seek it in a righteous way. And that means faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. But we'll have to talk about this more next time on Keys of the Kingdom, because we're out of time. So until then, God bless, and peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.